Hello everyone, and welcome back to the fourth episode of Gen STEM. As usual, I'm your host Neha, and I'm so thrilled that you decided to join us today as we discuss another brand new topic. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, or if you aren't very familiar with Gen STEM, I would recommend watching our trailer to learn more about our podcast and its goals. But do that after listening to this episode, of course. So in this episode, we'll discuss how environmental issues are causing health problems in humans. Some examples of this are as followed. Heat waves are increasing mosquito-transmitted diseases. Air pollution is causing asthma, and there is a higher risk of preterm birth for mothers with asthma. We'll also talk about these topics further and more deeper later on to the episode, so stay in tune for that. We'll also talk about how you can help the environment and therefore lower the risk of human health problems due to the environmental issues. Let's kick off the episode with surprising facts to get us going. Did you know that every minute at least 5 children in developing countries die from mosquito-transmitted diseases? Twice the amount of infants die from preterm births every hour. Furthermore, one probably might have not guessed that every day almost 1,800 people in cities die because of harmful exposure to air pollution. Unfortunately, all these tragic events are related to an unhealthy environment. According to the World Health Organization, 25% of global deaths are associated with the environment. One of the major environmental issues is climate change. Many people know what climate change is, but many of them are not aware of its effects. For example, it increases the spread of mosquito-transmitted diseases in humans. You might be wondering, how does climate change increase mosquito-transmitted diseases? Well, first of all, rising global temperatures help expand the geographical range of the vectors. If you don't know what vectors are, they basically are insects that carry disease-causing pathogens. If temperatures continue to warm, vectors will be able to move to new regions further away from the equator. According to Climate Central, most major cities in the United States have increased their mosquito season by 76% since the 1980s due to rising hot and humid weather. Another reason why climate change increases the spread of mosquito-transmitted diseases is that increased rainfall and flooding causes faster reproduction cycles. Humidity and water are very crucial for vector breeding because it allows the eggs to hatch more quickly. Due to this, as areas tend to get increased rainfall and flooding, it will create more viable areas for vector breeding and the number of vectors will increase. For instance, in August 2016, there was a huge flooding event in Louisiana, and many officials had expected to see the rising amount of West Nile virus infections. In the end, their predictions ended up being true. After the flooding, there were numerous breeding habitats for mosquitoes, which eventually led to more than 100 cases of West Nile virus infections. Another major environmental issue is air pollution, and air pollution is estimated to cause numerous amount of asthma cases. A countless number of studies have reported a link between air pollution exposures and asthma. For example, researchers have found a connection between increased hospital admissions for asthma and an outdoor air pollutant. Additionally, asthma can be triggered by irritants in the air, such as smoke, allergies, and greenhouse gas emissions from cars. For instance, a study from University of Michigan has shown that reducing greenhouse gas emissions from cars could result in 14 million fewer school absences from respiratory problems, especially within children with asthma. Meanwhile, air pollution also affects the number of allergies in the air. In fact, air pollution contributes to rising temperatures. With warm temperatures, flowers tend to bloom earlier, which increases the amount of pollen in the air. According to the Environmental Protection Agency, between 1995 and 2011, warmer temperatures have caused the United States pollen season to increase by 11 to 27 days longer. Because of this, people who are exposed to the pollen will develop allergies that may end up triggering asthma. Besides causing asthma, air pollution is also estimated to cause about 2 million premature deaths worldwide annually. According to a Science Daily study, exposure to air pollution could increase a woman's risk of having a premature birth. The study specifically looked at the effect of PM2.5, which is an outdoor pollutant. PM2.5 is a type of pollution that we inhale, but we cannot see. The study was tested on pregnant mice. Eventually, in the study, they found out that when mice early in their pregnancies are exposed to PM2.5, more than 83% of them gave premature births. Not only that, there was 11% of decrease in birth weight in more than half of the offsprings born. The study highlighted that air pollution may not just harm people who are breathing the air directly, it can seriously affect the baby in its mother's womb. Not only that, the majority of premature births are in South Asia, especially in China and India, where air pollution is a huge problem. In fact, a woman in China or India inhales 10 times the amount of pollution as a woman in rural England or France. On the other hand, there are some people who argue that the definite link between environmental issues and human health problems has not been established yet. But that's not true at all. There are countless amount of prestigious studies and websites that have clearly shown evidence that environmental issues and human health relate to each other. Some examples are all the studies that I cited throughout the episode while I was explaining. Just recently, the United States Global Change Research Program has published a website dedicated to the impacts of climate change on human health. Also, the nonprofit Environmental Health Sciences released a new website, Environmental Health News, which features daily reports on environmental effects on human health. Even your local TV station or newspaper probably carries an occasional story about environmental issues affecting global health. We do not have to look far to see examples of human health being affected by the environmental issues. In fact, there are numerous amount of data and facts about it, yet some people still keep trying to deny the facts and say that an indefinite link between exposure to environmental issues and human health problems is not established yet. It is a fact by now that environmental issues are clearly linked to human health problems. Here is a quick summary of what we discussed in the episode so far. Without a doubt, environmental issues have clearly caused many human health problems. As we discussed before, climate change is increasing the number of mosquito-transmitted diseases, and air pollution is causing asthma and a higher risk of premature births around the world. So when there are people who insist that a link between environmental health and human health problems has not been established yet, that's not true at all. A countless number of scientific studies have proven that environmental issues and human health are linked to each other. So by now, it is a fact that environmental issues and human health problems are linked to one another. But at the end of the day, you're probably wondering, what can I do to help prevent the worsening of the impact of environmental issues on human health? There are many things that you can do to help the environment. By doing that, you can help reduce the number of human health problems caused by environmental issues. For example, you can try to leave your car at home and use it less. Even if you only stay off the road just 2 days a week, you'll reduce the greenhouse gas emissions by an average of 1,590 pounds annually. That's a lot. Another example is you can put the three R's of sustainability to use. If you don't know what the three R's are, let me explain. The first R is to reduce, which basically means that you should consume less and use things more efficiently. The second R is to reuse. To do this, you can take advantage of secondhand markets. Try to also give life to items that you don't use anymore, or find something that someone else has gotten rid of that you need. You'll also be saving money and reducing your carbon footprint at the same time, so it's a win-win. The third R is to recycle. You can save over 730 kilos of carbon dioxide each year just by recycling half the garbage produced at home. So recycle paper, cardboard, plastic bottles, and etc. But the main point is, whatever you can do that can help the environment, don't hesitate to do it. Remember, you're going to make your society a better place and a safer place. Well, that's all for today, and I'm going to start wrapping up this episode now. I'm hopeful that you learned about the environmental effects on human health. I also hope that this episode encouraged you to take action against environmental issues in your community, and that you also learn different ways on how you can fight this problem. If you liked this week's episode, please subscribe to my podcast and stay in tune for the next episode. While you're waiting, you can also check out my blog at genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. And if you didn't watch your previous episodes, please feel free to go and check them out also. In the first episode, we talked about tips for landing remote internships and how you can ace your next virtual interview. In the second episode, we talked about the steps for vaccine development. And in the third episode, we talked about what dark matter and dark energy exactly are. And if there's any topics that you want to be discussed on GenSTEM or you have any questions about the podcast, please feel free to email me at genstemblog@gmail.com. genstemblog@gmail.com. I'm open to any new ideas and will try to respond to them as soon as possible. I also started an Instagram account for GenSTEM just recently, so I would appreciate it if you could support us over there too. I also will post all the new updates there so you can be up to date and well informed on what's going on at GenSTEM. I look forward to talking to you all again next week, and as usual, in the meantime, keep learning and stay curious.